Okay. Thank you so much. Wow, I didn't even see this whole room over here. I'm shocked. Thank you to Joan and Jimmy, wherever he... There he is, for having me, and to the other readers I'm so privileged to read with tonight. I really have enjoyed so far what I've heard, and it reminded me how great it is to hear poems that have been memorized. That's something I don't do very much, and I should do more of, so thank you. I'm going to read a few poems from my book, Easy Math, and then in the spirit of what Jimmy was saying, I'm going to read mostly newer poems that no one really has heard before. So we'll see how that goes. You can tell me afterwards. Don't tell me. I mean, only if it's good. This poem is called The Conversation. Am I okay on? Okay. The Conversation. There is always a woman eating a sandwich. Today she is large as everything that wasn't said. It is ham and cheese. Who cares? You're watching me, she seems to say. Being alone is unlike a chess move. It is unlike hanging out at the bowling alley with Dale Hickey. 100 stuffed animals the size of a fist, and I can't make the claw catch. Turkey, says Dale Hickey. The lights are making turkey shapes all over the place. Turkey, I heard you. The woman has finished eating her sandwich and is on to another one. Now she is tiny as a shrimp. She is eating the smallest egg salad sandwich in the world. I think, maybe I will speak to her. But she does it first. I've wanted to talk to you for ages, she says. But instead I keep eating all these sandwiches. I know, I say. And I keep going to the bowling alley with Dale Hickey. It's been hell. You don't need to clap after. I appreciate it. That's nice. I read online that I had written this poem about an Australian minimalist artist named Dale Hickey, which was news to me, and also a testament to the powers of the internet. And it was lovely in its own way. Most of my poems are not immediately autobiographical, but I actually knew someone named Dale Hickey when I was about 8 years old, who had a single father who was a big bowler. And we used to hang out at the bowling alley unsupervised for long stretches of time. And it was wonderful because she was great at that claw-catching thing, but it was terrifying, too, because I was unsupervised at 8 years old in a bowling alley, which is scary enough as an adult. Okay, the next poem I'm going to read is called Rule Book. And it's dedicated to anyone who has ever applied for anything, which is probably all of you. At the age of 10, you will be allowed in the deep end. 52 inches will get you on Thunder Mountain. You must be 13 with perfect vision to ride all-terrain vehicles. Please, no unsupervised children, no idiots, no mentally deranged wontons. We do allow 2 siblings for the price of 1 on Wednesdays. 8 young at hearts for the price of 7 on Sunday at 2 p.m. Please understand that we cannot make exceptions. The rule is you must be 6'2 with a chiseled profile and brooding eyes. Size 32C or larger to get on the show. We do not accept coupons or offer refunds. I sympathize, but just came out of surgery myself. My kid is also sick. Are your eyes at least 2 inches apart? We're really looking for someone with a better sense of the absurd who is naturally blonde. Don't feel bad. We accept less than 1% of applicants. Are you emancipated? On Atkins? Have you checked all categories that apply? Please don't call to hear your status. The process is fully automated, so you should receive your results in the mail. And the last poem I'm going to read from the book is called... This is really bizarre. I don't really know where to look when I speak. I'm going to direct this poem over here because my husband makes an appearance in the poem and he's sitting over here. It's called I've Always Wanted to Say This. There was a time when mansions had so many rooms, they had one just for fainting. If you had to faint, this was the best room for it. Chairs the size of beds, shag carpet, cloud scent, the whisperings of Enya. But when you woke up, it was the worst room in the world. And such are the machinations of life. When I was little, I wanted to be a truck driver, and now, essentially, I'm a truck driver. I watched that show, what's it called? I forget, for 8 hours straight. Then once in a while, as I'm walking down the street, a man's eyeball pops out, and we're both a bit surprised. And he cups it in his hands and blows the dust off and puts it back in. At the dinner party, I tell the story of the eye popping out. And then someone else tells about finding an ear in the gutter, and everyone drinks more wine. And Marty finally opens up about his little brother losing a hand in a table saw. And Sarah admits that she once lost a nipple to a feral dog. And Tim, after some prodding, shows the empty area where his testicles once hung. And then we walk home, and Jesus Christ, it's cold outside, says my husband. And it's so cold, it feels like something huge is about to happen. And that's when I see both of our features slipping off our faces, and we go home anyway and make love and rub our blank faces together. And I feel a deep and exciting newness welling up in my stomach, and I think that I will bake muffins tomorrow morning after all.
Thank you.
Just going to read a few newer poems now. I visited a college in Texas earlier this year, and I spoke to some students about the differences between writing poetry and fiction. And one of the students said, well, I just figure when I'm writing a poem, I have just like less time to prove to the reader that I'm not crazy. And I thought, okay, well, that's one way of looking at it, I guess. So I wrote this poem with that student in mind, and it's called, Am I Crazy? There's no way to know. I don't think so, and I can't trust what other people say. Joan just left for a 30-day yoga immersion hike in the Himalayas, and this therapist squinting at me and biting her nails, well, she might be a little bit crazy. I mean, am I right? Is this one of those vis-a-vis, vice versa moments? I would appreciate it if an unbiased male audience member would please tell me if I'm crazy. Just give me a chance to explain myself to you over coffee. I know this great place downtown. We could catch a movie after. I would show you my place and my cat Claire Danes, and who knows, maybe we'll fall in love. I'd like 2 kids, a boy and a girl, and since I'm 34, I'd like to start soon. You'll move in and we'll turn the basement into a playroom. I'm sure our pets will love each other. I'll probably quit my job to be a stay-at-home mom. I've always wanted to get married on a beach in Mexico. Will that be too far for your family to travel? I mean, does this sound like a plan? And then I got going in that persona, and I couldn't stop, so I wrote one more called First Date. Is it cliche to start with a question? I mean, when you were a kid, did you enjoy collecting He-Man figures or dead insects? Did you have a good grasp on the meaning of childhood and or like your parents? Don't feel self-conscious. I wear a wedding veil on every first date. I've heard that when you know, the mariachi band begins to play in your head. That's why I'm wearing earmuffs. That's why I joined all the clubs and became president. Joking aside, would you like 1 or 2 kids? Kids aside, do you consider yourself an extrovert? Just so you know, I gamed the system to get this date. My stats are off the charts. I've inflated my boobs with laughing gas. Feel free to take a drag. I bet you can sense my self-confidence under this pageant dress. I literally have no hair anywhere on my body. I have the most amazing job and make wads of free perks. My dog won best in show. My cat fathered 9 litters. I am like the goddess of fertility on the merry-go-round of life. Have you always wanted to ride a helicopter into an active volcano? Did you answer yes to 5 or more of my questions? If so, do you think you can step with me? Okay, you don't. Thank you. I'll just read a few more here. This is called "You're Wearing That." Question mark. The dog lies down for a nap on the dog hair rug it took me 3 years to make. It's genius, says my husband, the only one to appreciate it. They say if you're very sad, write a happy poem, but let the sadness show through like dew on the grass. If you're angry, let that be the red toys on the grass, fierce and out of place. If you're fed up, write about a playground overrun by ferrets. If feeling blah, eat mushu. These are good suggestions. I write them all down in my notebook made of recycled pencils. Too bad I'm writing in pencil. Love you, Mom. Love you, Dad. Nope, can't see it. If someone gives you a mirror, are they trying to tell you something? If a llama takes a dump on your driveway, is it feng shui? A million international crises take little worm poops on my mind's lawn, which stretches into the distance like a movie. When the movie ends, I cry my eyes out and make a grilled cheese sandwich. Then I think about what I have just done and am embarrassed and confused. The neighbor has trimmed his hedges to resemble a scene from a cartoon, a mouse chased by a cat, chased by a dog, chased by a wildebeest. The thought bubble says, not again. My son moves pans from one drawer to the other, which is a metaphor for just about anything. Once you start seeing a toddler's actions as metaphorical, you're in trouble, says the guidebook. But don't worry. Lots of mothers feel this way at first. Give yourself permission is a phrase you will hear often from people for whom you care very little. The red train of your heart will be forever speeding. You'll take no for an answer all the time. I'm just saying, I love you, but have to be on the 2 o'clock train to the city. Call if you need anything. Maybe brush your hair? Just gonna read 3 more shorter poems. This poem is called The Kiss. I would like to kiss you, said the man perched on the chimney, but I don't have any lips. From my spot on the roof, I told him I was married, but that if he didn't have lips, it would be okay. He came near and touched me softly on my cheek with his cheek, and I knew that he really did have lips, but was being nice because he could tell that I was blind and lonely, sitting on a roof in winter, and he wanted to bring me back inside. And then I just have a few poems from some newer stuff I've been writing about mental illness. This is called Please Mark Any of the Following. Headache, chest pain, memory loss, disorganized thought pattern, trouble sleeping, trouble staying awake, trouble with loved ones, no reason to get up, no appetite, failure to function at work, failure to relate to family, unwilling to discuss failure, to know if has failed, utter disassociation from reality, from family, stays in room, failing, and failing again completely, can't tell if failing, but now believes so, has seen it coming, but failed to stop it before the crisis, failed to think it was a crisis. Family failed to see the crisis in patient. Family failed. The patient continues to fail. The patient failed. Family failed. Patient failed. Family failed. Patient failed. Family failed. This is called Q&A. Why do you think you are here? Who have you harmed and how much? If you had a do-over, would you bring the Ziploc bag? Do you still believe the CIA is after you? Have you always avoided holiday parties? Do you have any scars? Are you aware that you are wearing 2 different shoes? What was your last meal? Have you considered other uses for shoelaces? How many times would you say that you lied to your therapist? Did you vote in the last election? Would you be happier if you hadn't done this? Why do you think I'm asking this? Who do you think wants to know anyway? Will a computer tabulate this? What will the diagnosis mean? If you lie, will it be a different diagnosis? If there is no diagnosis, can you leave? Is it over yet? Will there be an end to the questions eventually? Who wants to know these things? Who is important in the scenario? Who is coming up with the scenario? When will it end? The scenario, I mean, has it played itself out? Who will be waiting at home? Will someone be able to pick you up? What will you tell them? Who will give the answer? What if there is no answer? Of course there is. It just takes a while. You may have to try different medications. There will be side effects. In trying to find the solution, it will be necessary to ask the right questions. Do you think these are the right questions? And the last poem I'm going to read is called Biography of Marginalia. While reading, it occurred to him to buy fish for dinner. This was documented extensively in the archives. Also the matter of whether the proof was finally sound, given the caution tape stretched around what officers believe was the crime scene, the wind had blown the clues elsewhere. Just a single thread of worry hung limply from the abandoned motorcycle. In a way, it was a generic crime scene, skid marks, then wreckage, then empty space. No one had written between the lines at all or expressed shock at the distance a body can travel by accident, on purpose, quietly, alone in a room, or standing on the roof of a garage. Also, someone noted in the margin, almost leaving suggests the infinity of leaving. The text itself would put you to sleep. Also, there is the matter of who will find the body. It could be a little girl walking with her lunchbox to the bus stop, thinking about Tanya and Sarah and gym class, and then suddenly not, screaming, "It's an adult, I think." The marginalia overtaking the book left in a gutter somewhere. As soon as there is language, generality has entered the scene, said a philosopher once. What is not text, negative space, becomes the text. No one was listening, really. No one could take their eyes off of what was not there anymore. Thank you.